Amen. It's my honor now to introduce the Reverend Dr. Mary Mitchell. She is pastor of Bartley Temple.
Give me a little bit more of that walk-up music, yes. I saw the Lord, he heard me. And yes, amen. To God be the glory for the things he has done. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to each of you this day. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Y'all, he didn't have to do it, but he did. And for that, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You know, when we were planning the revival and I kept seeing in our notes, it was the Bartley Temple Quartet. And I'm thinking, we have five choirs at our church, and the smallest choir is 17 members. And, you know, how we get quartet? And I said, you know, I didn't know that the Lord was preparing me for what was to come. And so when we went to the first revival, we had a quartet. And today, with all the funerals that are going on in Gainesville, we have a quartet. So thank you, Lord, for preparing me so I wasn't surprised when what showed up was a quartet. And beautifully done. Thank you, Bartley Temple. And I just thank God for the members of Bartley Temple, those who can always, they're there. You just let them know and they will do their best to follow me just about anywhere. So I thank God for them. I am going to do my best to keep this in the amount of time that they said. I narrowed it down and narrowed it down and narrowed it down. So let's do this. At least I don't have to speed it up because I was speeding it up, y'all. So we just gonna take our time with this and let the Lord do what only God can do. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. Yes. Our scripture lesson is coming from Acts, the third chapter, and I want to focus on verses 1-10, and I'll be reading from the New International Version of the scripture. Hear the word of the Lord, and I want you to really listen to these words because I won't have the opportunity to break it down the way I normally do. So in the interest of time, I really need you to carefully listen to the scripture as it is read. It said, on one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth were being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet, ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man, who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we just Thank you for this opportunity. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. Come, Holy Spirit, come with all your quickening power. Come, Holy Spirit, come and move on the altars of our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
You know, as we approach the subject of the Holy Spirit, we do so knowing that it is one of the most divisive topics in the entirety of the body of Christ. Mainly because many believers limit the Holy Spirit to our spiritual gifts, to spiritual warfare, to how we worship, or to the gifts of building up the body of Christ. Some people feel that if we're not in this church all day long from early morning until late night, we haven't had any worship. If we're not speaking in tongues, we haven't had any worship. And some people feel like all we need is a little bit of time and take it to the house and we've had a good time. And the Holy Spirit, they feel the Holy Spirit was there. So we're torn on how the Holy Spirit functioned. And we mostly centered it around our time of worship. But if the truth be known, the greatest witness of the Holy Spirit is seen in our service to others. I want each of you, but especially the leaders here today, to understand that the real power and presence of the Holy Spirit happens outside of these four walls. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, hear me when I tell you that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit when we engage the reality of earthly existence. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to identify and meet the needs of others right here, right now in this community. Those things that are going on right outside of our church doors. When we deal with the racism in our community, when we deal with the sexism in our community, when we deal with the inequality in our community, economic inequalities in our community, when we deal with the underperforming schools in our community, when we deal with the domestic violence in our community, when we deal with the HIV and AIDS in our community, when we deal with the sexual abuse in our community, the sex trafficking in our community, and this list can go on and on and on. But don't take my word for it. Look at our scripture text. This third chapter of Acts. But before we do so, I need each of you to ponder on a question for me, because this is about us. Dr. Stacy said it earlier. It's about us. Dr. Campbell said it later. This is about us. And so I need you to ponder on a question for me right now, which is the title of my message. And my question is, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? And I know that many of you say, yes, I've experienced the Holy Spirit. And some of you said, yes, I've felt the Holy Spirit from time to time. And some of you all might even say that I've experienced the Holy Spirit operating in our time of worship. But I ask the question, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? I ask the question because those who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit are empowered to obey the commands of God. Especially when it comes to the command to love one's neighbor as oneself. And especially when it comes to caring for the least of these. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, we can no longer say that we are believers in Christ and are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Y'all, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can't say that we love God. We can't say that we believe in Jesus and not have the Holy Spirit operating in our life. It's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and all in one. Because if you got the Father, if you got the love of the Father and you believe in Jesus and there's the Holy Spirit, y'all, something's wrong. You might want to check your walk with God.
Yes.
I ask the question, are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if you notice in the book of Acts, y'all just walk with me for a minute. But because if you notice in the book of Acts chapter 1, we see the preparation of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is just in chapter 1 now. We see the preparation of the Holy Spirit when Jesus prepares the disciples for the Holy Spirit. But then also in chapter 1, we see Jesus declaring the purpose of the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit comes, that we will become witnesses to the Holy Spirit. Then in the book of Acts chapter 2, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
Which leads us to the proclamation of the Holy Spirit when Peter preaches and thousands of people accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And we see the product of the Holy Spirit when the church is born.
Oh.
Notice, if you will, the Holy Spirit was prepared. The Holy Spirit's purpose was shared. The Holy Spirit's presence was felt. Then the Holy Spirit empowers the preaching, and the church is the product of the Holy Spirit. Now, y'all don't miss that. And I want you to go back and read the book of Acts in its entirety for yourself, because I don't want you to miss that the Holy Spirit, how it came about, how it was on the scene, and how it prepares us for what we need to be doing. But don't you see the Holy Spirit? Don't you see the power of the Holy Spirit? We don't really see it until we get to chapter 3 of our text for today. It is in the book of Acts chapter 3 where we see what the Holy Spirit enables believers to do. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, it is not in the sanctuary of a church. It is outside the four walls of a church where we see the power of the Holy Spirit is at work. Look at this text, this third chapter of Acts. When most preachers approach this text for today, there's a focus on a lame man, two broke preachers, and a miracle. But in this text, I want to show you today that the Holy Spirit is actively at work within us, the believers. In this text today, we are introduced to a lame man who had been lame since birth. He could not walk, and he was dependent on others. And every day, he was brought to the gate called Beautiful. He was brought there to beg. And you see, the gate called Beautiful was the closest gate to the place of worship. The gate called Beautiful is where he would encounter the people who were going to worship God. The gate called Beautiful was where he would encounter the people who were walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, how many people do we pass every day who are in need, and we say that we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? How many do we pass? Hear me when I tell you that the power of the Holy Spirit manifests outside the church's doors. The power of the Holy Spirit manifests at that coffee shop, and it manifests at that thrift store that we go to, and it manifests on our way to work, and it manifests on that job, and it manifests when we're at the convenience store, and it manifests at that Walmart and at that Target and at the Publix. That's where we encounter. That's where the Holy Spirit manifests. But how many people do we pass? We see them in their struggles, but we keep walking because it's not a part of our plan. But guess what? It's a part of the Holy Spirit's plan. Hear me when I tell you that the power of the Holy Spirit manifests outside the church's doors. Look again at the text, because I want to point out from this text three ways for you to know if you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because after this text, This text tells us of the lame man. The next thing that this text tells us is that the lame man saw Peter and John walking together. This is the first sign of a walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is togetherness. If you know Peter and John in the Bible, you would know that there were some major differences between them. They differ in their roles in the church. They differ in their ministries. And they differ in how they experience the events of Jesus' life. In fact, when you read your Bible, you will see that they had a reason not to like each other. But because they were walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, they were walking and working together. The real sign of the Holy Spirit working in a church or in the life of a believer is found in our ability to work together, to live together, to worship together, our ability to care about one another together. And that's what I like about these two ladies over here. Not because they have doctorate in front of their name, because we're able to set aside whatever differences we may have, and we're able to worship together and to work together and to walk together. The second sign that you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean to preach to y'all today. I just want to get this thing out of me right now. The second sign that you are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is when you see others. Peter said in verse 4, look at us.
Yeah.
Peter was saying, we see you.
Yeah.
How many people do we pass that we don't even see? I see you. I see you. Brother, I see you. I see you. I see you, my brother. I see you. How many people do we pass that we just don't see? Peter said, I see you. We see you. The power of the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see what is going on outside of our churches, what is going on in our neighborhoods, and what is going on in the world.
Amen.
Look at this. First, the Holy Spirit will cause us to partner together. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see those in need. And thirdly, it is crucial to remember that it is the Holy Spirit that guides us to help others. In our text today, not only did Peter proclaim Jesus, not only did Peter offer the lame man something better than silver and gold when he offered him Jesus, but Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. The power of the Holy Spirit will cause you to touch someone's life and to lift them up when they are down.
Yeah.
I like what Dr. Stacy said about just taking the pews and washing them. Let the people come in just as they are. It's okay if they smell it. You can spray them, wash them cushions and clean the cushions and spray some air freshener. All we need to do is show them the love of God. I tell my people when we go out into the community, we don't have to tell a prostitute she's a prostitute. She already knows she's a prostitute. I used to tell them that we just need to love her while she's on that corner. Then I had to dress that up. I said, no, we need to show her the love of God while she's on that corner. But we so busy telling people what they are. They know what they are. They just need us to show them the love of God where they are. Because at some point, they're not going to be able to stay out there on that street. At some point, that they're not going to want to be able to stay homeless. And they're going to come looking, and they're going to remember Bethel. They're going to remember that church that loved them regardless. They're going to remember that church that said, come on in. You have a seat right here. They're going to remember you.
Yeah.
They're going to remember that you were there for them when they were down. That's why we don't go out to bring people in the church. We go out to offer Christ. And they remember that person that offered them Christ. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, if we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will come together and we will see the lame. We will see those born in generational poverty, the lame. We will see those who get more street cred for going to jail than going to college, the lame. We will see those who are headed to become teen moms because they are looking for love in all the wrong places, the lame. We will see those senior citizens who are all alone, who feel as if they are forgotten day after day, the lame. We will see those those struggling single parent families, the lame. We will not only see them, but we will take the time like Peter and we will lift them up. Amen. We will do all in our power to meet their needs. So as I close, my brothers and my sisters in Christ, I urge each of you to be intentional in allowing the Holy Spirit to use you in this season. Yes. Yes. To make our ministries more vital. Yes. Working together. Yes. Seeing those in need. Lifting them up as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not inside these four walls, but outside these doors. We done got too comfortable inside, entertaining each other, collecting money. But God is calling us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to operate in and through our lives, calling us right here, right now, to go outside these four walls into this community to make a difference. Amen. Will you go?